Welcome to McGuire on Wrestling.
What do you guys want to talk about?
Let's give the people what they want. Professional wrestling.
With Mike McGuire.
The happiest Canadian camper in the world.
Tell me when I'm telling lies.
Give me a hell yeah.
Welcome to episode 3, McGuire on Wrestling. I'm Mike McGuire. Thank you so much for being here. If this is your first time checking out the show, I hope you like it. When I launched this show a couple of weeks ago, I had a couple things in mind. One, I just wanted to talk about wrestling. That's all. That's all I've ever wanted to do, and that's all I'm ever going to want to do. The other thing, I've spent more than 20 years fostering relationships with people in the wrestling industry of all levels. But this week, if anything, proved to me that if you go in with a positive and sincere attitude, you can really do anything, and you can get to know anybody if you want to. It's the headline of the show. It's someone that people are undoubtedly curious to hear from, and I'm not going to be like, ooh, look at this big exclusive, because she can talk to anybody she wants to. I don't think she wanted to talk to me until a bunch of people around her vouched for me and what this show is. So I'm very happy to bring you this week the undeniable diamond, Tessa Blanchard. That interview is coming up for you this week. I don't even want to call it an interview because it started as an interview, but as these tend to go, turned into a conversation. And I think that if you listen to this, you're going to be pretty satisfied with what you hear out of it. But as promised, this show will always be free. It will always focus on wrestling and the people in and around the business. And this show is always going to be about what you want to hear as well. So reach out to me anytime on social media at McGuire Show. That's MCG. And we'll talk. Coming up this week, yes, Tessa Blanchard has made her way back to pro wrestling. I think you're really going to dig this talk. Also, as the transition to new ownership continues, WWE shareholders got an update on what's happening to their stock moving forward. Tony Khan is once again planning some big announcements. Are these going to be the announcements we've been hearing about? WWE's World Heavyweight Championship final match has been announced, but a new main event has fans talking. Plus, an update on the 8-hour wrestling match that happened this past weekend for charity. And Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer is back to talk about all this and more. But first,
you want to hear the breaking news?
WWE has released some figures and stats on their absorption into Endeavor. Now, WWE CEO Nick Khan sent out a letter to shareholders explaining how their existing WWE stocks will transfer into this new company, which will oversee UFC and WWE business. Their SEC report, which they have to do to be a part of the stock exchange, also went into a bunch of transaction details. There's a lot of numbers, a lot of things that are frankly a little confusing, but the real story of it all is that the process is happening and there seems to be lots more money heading into the future for WWE. Michael Richard Blaze has done it. Yesterday, for over 8 hours, Blaze took part in a series of matches of all different types for 8 hours plus. Originally, when he announced this, he had set a goal of just $1,600, which he wanted to raise to support Edmonton's Stollery Children's Hospital Foundation. That worked out to $100 for every half hour. That goal got smashed early. He then upped it to $5,000, and after yesterday's match, which you can watch on YouTube for free, Blaze has raised over $10,000 and growing as of production time for today's show. Now, if you'd like to hear more about Blaze's story, check out last week's edition of McGuire on Wrestling or look for the full interview I had with him for free on the McGuire on Wrestling podcast feed. But more importantly, you can still donate to his efforts if you'd like to. Head to clandestinewrestlingsociety.com/infinity for more on how you can help out the Stollery Children's Hospital Foundation because of this 8-hour wrestling match. Tony Khan is promising more big announcements next week on Dynamite. What was kind of a running joke with his big announcements, Tony Khan has actually delivered big time with the recent announcement of All In and AEW coming to the UK's Wembley Stadium. Now, with the continued speculation of the new Saturday show and the potential return of CM Punk in Chicago, it seems as though the two events are the only things that could come close to the Wembley announcement. AEW has obviously kept this all to themselves, but with the June 17th booking, which is believed to have been made at the United Center, that would mean they've got just over a month before that show happens, so this Wednesday night might be where everything gets announced all at once. In storyline, we now know that it will be Seth Rollins versus SmackDown's AJ Styles for the new WWE World Heavyweight Championship. But there was also a big match announced for WWE Night of Champions that has people talking for all sorts of reasons. On Friday's show, Roman Reigns and Solo Sikoa have challenged Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn for the WWE Undisputed Tag Team Championships at Night of Champions in Saudi Arabia. Now, this is especially noteworthy for a couple of reasons. One, Roman will not be defending his Undisputed WWE Universal Championship. Night of Champions, traditionally, every title in the company is on the line. Two, this will be Sami Zayn's first appearance in Saudi Arabia. It was reported for some time that Zayn was not permitted to be a part of the shows until now due to strife between Saudi Arabia and Syria, which is of what descent Sami Zayn is. Lately, there's been a channel of communication between the two nations, which is why Zayn has been reportedly welcomed to be a part of this show. Of course, the other marquee match on Night of Champions, Brock Lesnar in his return match against Cody Rhodes. And lastly, if you follow Matt Hardy on Twitter and get a direct message from him, do not engage. That is the story coming from Matt's wife, Rebby Hardy, who took to Twitter last night to share the news that his account had been hacked. At the time of production, it doesn't look like the hackers are doing anything to his public profile, but there's also no announcement from him about getting the page back yet. So again, watch your DMs. If you should hear from Matt Hardy saying, hey, thanks for being a fan, please send me money, just don't fall for any of it.
It's time for the Wrestling Observer Insider with Dave Meltzer. McGuire on Wrestling.
As we do each week, Dave Meltzer stopping by to talk about the week in wrestling. How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Very well, thanks. Had a very fun weekend this weekend. I went to a couple of indie shows. One of the last real touring independent companies out there, Canada's Wrestling Elite. Oh, there you are.
CWE, yeah, they tour all over the country, basically, or the western part of the country anyway, from Winnipeg and west, right?
Yeah, basically kind of the central core. So they come out of Winnipeg, they've gone as far as Alberta one way, and then they go into Ontario the other way. But yeah, it's kind of that central Canada area there. But yeah, Danny Duggan, Danny Warren runs it. He's actually on the show next week, and we're going to talk about that because there aren't a lot of companies anywhere doing that in North America anymore for this long a stretch.
Nobody is. Not to that type of geographic area and that many shows like that tour where you're like really on like an old school wrestling tour. I mean, GCW is the closest, but they basically run weekends, you know. They're not running and they do run nationally, but it's weekends. Yeah.
Plus on this show today, I think you'll find this kind of interesting. Had the chance to talk to Tessa Blanchard. And, you know, I'm not going to say like I'm like the smartest guy in the business here, but I don't get that excited about meeting wrestlers anymore. So I'm not going to be that guy. It's like, oh, she was nice to me. It was great. We kind of talk about everything without talking about everything. Oh. And so I do think that fans are going to find this interesting, and I'll send it to you here when we're done. And
oh yeah, I'd love to see it. I, you know, it's kind of a funny story with her because, you know, if you would have asked me 8 years ago, I would have said like she's going to be the biggest women's star in WWE right now or somewhere else, but you know, whatever. And you know, things happened, and her trajectory when she was in TNA, you know, I mean, or Impact, I mean, she was the men's world champion. So I mean, she was on that trajectory, and then it all kind of fell apart, you know, with COVID. You know, from COVID on, she's pretty much been, you know, someone that people don't really talk about.
Well, the funny thing is, I think that if they see and hear from what I saw and heard this past weekend, I went to a couple of CW shows actually, because it just so happened I had business to do driving around, and they were in the area that I was going to be in. So I was like, I'll just go. And it got to the point where the second show I went back and I said, hey, I just want to thank you again for that conversation we had, because this is where, you know, you can speculate and guess and think and everything, but she's 100% real in this thing. And
I hope so.
And I'm really looking forward to people hearing it. So, I'll send it your way too, Dave, and you can give it a listen. But let's move on to the week in wrestling. We have to pretend that we're business experts here again for a second. And by business, I mean like financial experts here. People are talking about the WWE's SEC filing going out for their merger with UFC, this new company. Mm-hmm. Basically what this means in layman's terms, I guess, is that if you're a WWE stockholder, you're going to still have your stock, but it's going to look and be a little bit different moving forward.
Your stock will be worth 49% of what it was as far as the share that you had, mm-hmm. but the company value will be well over double. So you're making out. Yeah. You're doing well. I mean, it's not a negative for WA shareholders at all. It's complete positive, but it's just a little, yeah, it's a little different. I mean, it's interesting that the original proposal was a 59-41 split between UFC, with UFC at the 59 and WWE at the 41, and they negotiated to a 51-49. I mean, UFC was going to be dominant because it's the more profitable of the two companies, but they got it to where it's, for Vince, it's a lot of money, that difference between holding what would have been, you know, whatever it was. I'd have to go through the things, but it's several more points in the company that Vince has. And Vince's deal is, you know, as ironclad as you can get. I mean, he can absolutely be fired, but he's got the position for life if he doesn't get fired, you know, or as long as he wants it. They're not planning on getting rid of Vince McMahon, and Vince McMahon, whatever the negatives are, and there is obviously everyone knows what they are. The big guy, which is Ari Emanuel, he's accepting Vince as Vince and Dana as Dana, and they're not going anywhere. You know, it's not like they're going to do something to get fired unless they do something incredibly stupid. And obviously with Dana, I mean, you could see, you know, on New Year's Eve when he was slapped his wife, and I know she slapped him first. But the point is he was on film slapping his wife a couple of times and not even a reprimand. So that tells you there's almost nothing they can do short of, you know, murder or something like that that's going to get them off. So they're there. You know, Vince and Dana did build giant companies. So I could see where someone goes, you know, hey, why get rid of Dana, who took UFC from obscurity and nothing to this, and Vince, who took it from, you know, a regional entity, a successful regional entity, but just a regional entity to a worldwide juggernaut. So they're there, and they're there for life.
It's wild when you put it that way. I think in a world these days, and some people don't, and that's good on them, but some people, a lot of people give lots of passes to these things. But man, when you put it that way, like, that sounds like
they got passes. They both of them got a lot of, Dana's got a lot of passes. Vince has got more. I mean, Dana was really, from the time they bought it, there's really been just the one incident. Other than that, Dana's been a pretty good boy. But Vince, I mean, it's just all these things. And I mean, there were, you know, the allegations on Vince are they're really strong. I mean, we've seen people much, much bigger than Vince get ostracized in sports, in entertainment, in news. But Vince is the guy, and he's not going anywhere at this point.
That's wild. Okay, we're going to move more to storyline stuff and actual roster things in a minute here, but I wanted to have this be really our top story here. It happened yesterday. I've reached out to him a couple times. I'm sure he's sleeping still at the time we're recording, because yesterday, Michael Richard Blaze in Edmonton, Alberta, he completed his over 8-hour wrestling match.
Good for him.
Series of matches with a bunch of people he's trained or worked with through the years. Over $10,000 plus still coming in. So if people want to donate to that, they can. There's a link on the description for this week's episode. But the idea of using a stunt match like that as a fundraiser, has there ever been anything in your recollection done like that before?
Oh, yeah. I think Evil Uno's done that year after year for I think it's for cancer. But
really?
Evil Uno's done that. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Not exactly doing what Michael's doing. But they've done, I mean, many, many companies have done fundraisers.
I know fundraisers happen, but I mean, just this kind of this big of a match, you know, like.
Yeah, that, I mean, as far as somebody wrestling 8 hours for that, I think I heard somebody attempting, but it was not 8 hours. It was far less than that, like maybe three or something. I think it's been done, but it's pretty unique in wrestling history what he did. Yeah.
Well, either way, hats off.
He's probably pretty sore.
Yeah, well, we'll get him on the show hopefully in the next couple of weeks here to talk about how it felt. But in the meantime, that was just something I wanted to bring into this section, because I know there's people that come just to hear you and I talk about it. Okay, let's jump into some WWE stuff that happened this week. First of all, it's Seth Rollins versus AJ Styles for the World Heavyweight Championship at Night of Champions. I'd put in our list here, where does this leave Edge? But is this pretty much a gimme for Seth Rollins now?
Certainly the favorite. I never think of anything as a gimme because they'd like to surprise you. But I would say Seth's the, you know, I mean, they have to switch AJ over. And I think AJ and Gallows and Anderson are kind of a unit. I don't know they're going to switch Gallows and Anderson over after doing this. So one would favor Rollins. But I mean, I don't think that it's, I wouldn't call it a gimme in the sense that there's no chance, because again, it's a Vince McMahon thing. If we keep saying there's no chance, Vince may just go, hey, let's fool him. You know, and there's nothing, I don't think there's anything specifically wrong with that either. AJ, it's not like it's somebody, you know, AJ's a real quality wrestler, as is Seth Rollins. So, I mean, either one is fine. And, you know, in theory, they should have a great finale. They've had great matches in the past.
Got Gallows, Anderson, Mia Yim in there can be tied in with that faction still. And
she's still in that faction. Yeah.
So that would be four people, I guess, going over
But the thing is, if you look at the two rosters, the SmackDown roster is the thinner roster.
Yeah.
So I really don't think of people going over. If people are going to go over, I think it's from Raw to SmackDown rather than SmackDown to Raw. That's why I would say, I strongly would expect Seth to win. And I think everyone, I do believe everyone thinks Seth is winning. I will say that. And they're, you know, more likely than not, right?
Okay, Dave, this was something you've talked about on your newsletter on Wrestling Observer Radio. And then Bill Apter actually caught up with Randy Orton's dad, Cowboy Bob Orton. And there was a video clip of Cowboy Bob saying that Randy's doctors have advised him against wrestling. But he also said Randy's going to do what Randy wants to do. Have you heard or have any speculation as to what could be happening?
The last I heard, which was from WWE WrestleMania week, is that his back is in really bad shape and not to expect it anytime soon, you know, which I tweeted and, you know, whatever. But that was straight from WWE. And they told me, look, we're telling you this because there's all these rumors that he's coming back at WrestleMania. We want to quell the rumors, which that was the idea. His back on the end of his last run with Riddle, he was hurting really, really bad, way more than anyone knew. And I don't know that they even wanted out, because when Riddle did the promo on television talking about it, that was actually not something that was approved in the script. As far as I know, I think Riddle did that on his own, but, you know, they did the injury angle to set up Randy leaving.
Right.
And, you know, that obviously the hope, I mean, Randy's in good shape physically. If you look at him, he's in really good shape, but can his body take, you know, again, doctors, you know, I'm sure doctors have told so many of these guys not to go on, and they eventually find a doctor who says, hey, you can do it. And they do go on. So I would not write Randy off. And he's had other issues too. You know, he's had a lot of injuries in his career, even working a safer style than most. You know, and you know, I know he wants to continue, and he's got one of the best deals in all of wrestling. So I'm sure in that sense, you know, he wants to continue that deal until as long as he can physically. I mean, I know he wanted to wrestle till 50, but I don't know when he's 42, 43 at this point. But you know, hopefully he's, you know, time does heal things, but it's bad. That was a bad thing. That I can't say surprised me, but I knew when you're out of action this long with a back injury, it's got to be pretty serious.
It's funny, and I want your thoughts on this here, because when that all came out and he had disappeared and the injury angle happened, I honestly didn't think it would be that bad, because in my opinion, and you know, I follow as closely as I think most regular viewers do, I don't think Orton ever really slowed down. Like I never seen.
He wasn't taking a lot of bumps, and Riddle was working the majority of those matches. I mean, but as far as his performance, no, not at all. His performance was very good always. When, I mean, he's solid in his timing.
There, like that's what I.
Yeah, right. When he would be in there, he moved well. He looked good. I can't say when I watch him, I go, oh my god, he's hurting bad. Like some guys, when you watch him, and you just go, oh man, they're hurting bad. I couldn't say that with Randy, but you know, again. He was in a tag. The other guy was doing most of the work in the tag. And, but yeah, he did show it.
Speaking of people that were persona non grata for a while, and after the draft, it was announced that Cameron Grimes from NXT was making his way to SmackDown, made his debut last night, had a quick flash win over Baron Corbin here. Is this a guy we see being pushed, to the moon?
I don't think so. I think he's just going to end up being a guy on the roster, but good for him. You know, he's been in the business since he was a teenager, and this is his first chance to make some real money. I mean, real good money. So, you know, and Cameron Grimes is one of those guys who is a great all around performer. He can talk, he can work. You know, it's just one of those things where he doesn't have that standout quality that I think that they look for a top guy, which is one of the reasons why, you know, he was in developmental for so long, right. But, a guy like that, you know, I mean, look, you can make good money. There's a spot for you. There's always, to me, if you're a really good worker, there's a spot for you because, you know, you can make other people look good as well. So I don't see him as a top guy. Maybe we'll be surprised. But, as far as a guy on the roster who, you know, you can do stuff with, and maybe, you know, maybe something organic will happen and he'll get over, and then that will help him, you know, and that's happened to a lot of guys who they didn't see a lot in. So, but right now, no, I don't see him as a guy being groomed for Roman Reigns or the tag team titles or anything like that. But hopefully for his sake, hopefully he catches on in a way where it forces their hand.
Let's move over to AEW. This week, Tony Khan has promised more big announcements. Again, you and I would kind of snicker when we heard those. Obviously, we had the Wembley Stadium announcement. That was huge.
Right.
He's talking about big announcements and what could possibly live up to it. Could it be anything else but the new
TV show is going to be announced Wednesday, as far as I know. Punk, I would presume, the first, you know, the announcement of the first show. Or shows, maybe all the Saturday dates for the first month or so. I don't know that, you know, but all of those are in play. So, yeah, but I mean, it's going to be I think that's going to be the key. I mean, he's had to sit on this for forever. You know, I mean, long before we were even talking about it, he had a deal, you know, he was negotiating this deal. God, it's, you know, I mean, it was weeks before I even like really talked about it before, you know, that we had heard inklings of Saturday show. And at first it's kind of like, well, you know, I mean, I know they're talking, but you're always talking, right? But it's like, you know, it's been a done deal for a long, long time. It's just Warner Brothers Discovery wanted May 17th as the announce date. So that's going to be your announce date. And he was not allowed to speak about it. I mean, I talked to Tony a couple days ago, and even a couple days ago, I mean, it's like not a word on Collision, even though like I know, he knows, we all know. He cannot speak of it and doesn't, you know, and people think, oh, you know, he's, you know, given hints. He's given no hints. It's not something he's allowed to talk about. I mean, that's the rule. So he doesn't talk about it.
The only things that have trickled down were the trademark filing. And then obviously the date was booked. I'm just going by the facts here. United Center is booked, but none of this stuff was actually out there until it's out there, I guess. Right.
Nothing's official till Wednesday. And I mean, I've seen deals fall through. I don't think this will be one of them, because this is a big transformative deal for the company. And I mean, again, I've seen like stuff reported as far as length of the TV deal, money figures. And as far as I know, there's nothing out there. I think everybody's speculating, and I don't know if that's good or bad. We'll know. It could be, you know, total game changer and everything's great. It could be, you know, status quo, or, you know, a little better. I mean, it's going to be a little better no matter what. You know,
I saw somebody share online that they had signed a $1 billion deal.
I mean, it's look, okay. I think that nobody, I don't know if anyone has actually reported that, because every time I see that, when I've gone to those people, they say, no, this is just what we're thinking. If you put it all together, that it could be, and it could be a lot less. It could perhaps be more. I wrote a bunch about it, about different things and different ways, and including streaming. And we don't know if there's a streaming component or not. I mean, a lot of people, I think one of the things that happened was WWE signed the deal with Peacock. And so you get the streaming component, but people forget that Peacock, you know, so why doesn't Max do the same thing? And it's like, because Peacock is losing hundreds of millions of dollars every month, not quarter, every month. They way, way, way overspent, and WBD is not looking to overspend. Mm-hmm. So the idea is, you know, ESPN Plus isn't looking to overspend, but what ESPN Plus did was for the pay-per-views is they kept the pay-per-views, but you're still paying for the pay-per-views individually. You know, you're not getting a deal, you know, $5 a month, $10 a month. UFC is $80 a month. And so
the other thing too, is the scope of the brands. And as much as I'm cheering for AEW and I cheer for everybody out there, but it's like, they're still not in that WWE realm yet, as far as broadcast numbers, as far as crowd numbers, although they're getting impressive with the crowd numbers, but they're having to do big things to get it too. So I think that maybe $1 billion, maybe over 10 years, maybe, or five.
Well, I don't know that anyone's going to do it. Well, I mean, they may do a 10-year deal. I mean, there's some NBA and stuff, but NBA is a lot more solid. But I could see, you know, I mean, again, look, next week, we will all have a much better idea. And I don't really want to speculate because there's a million things that could be. And I don't have any more info, and nobody does, mm-hmm. as far as what it could be, other than we know Collision. We know that the Dynamite deal technically is up this year, but it can be extended for another year. They have a 1-year option, WBD, to renew it without signing a new deal for it. Or they could just go, hey, this is the start of a new deal. We're going to tear up the old deal. We got a new TV show. We've got 5 hours a week instead of three. And this is the new deal going forward.
It seems like a lot. Like, that would be a lot of revenue that would need to be generated for even a 5-year deal.
Put it this way. If you're talking about, and I have all the breakdown in the Observer this week. If you just go by viewer and what WWE gets, I mean, AEW per viewer is getting about a third. Like, if, and it's the same view, like, yes, WWE has more viewers, but per viewer, WWE is getting 3 times the money right now that AEW is. And when they make their new deal, it's going to be 4 to 5 times as much. So there's a lot of room if you're going to be fair, but it's two different entities. You know, one is Fox, and Fox has got a lot more cash, and one is NBCU, which, even though Peacock's losing a ton of money, NBCU is very, very profitable. There's WBD, which is, you know, in a cutting mood. So you're not going to get what WWE gets per viewer. If you did, AEW's home free forever and they're a giant success. Even if they get, you know, like double what they're getting now, which still would be well below, you know, if you say WWE's market value, it's still well below market value. They're still home free. You know, they're a success. And in a sense, you can almost say, hey, look, they're a success now. Just the fact that they're alive and they're generating, you know, over $100 million in revenue without, you know, even not including any kind of an increase. And they started from scratch. It's not like it's, you know, World Championship Wrestling, which started, which is stemmed from a 1935 company. They're a significant success. They may be an overwhelming success. They're not a success at UFC level, which started at zero, basically, and went to, you know, over $1 billion in revenue per year, and a TV deal that's whatever it is, $500-600 million, just $500 million in the United States. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like they're that level of success yet. But, you know, again, UFC, when they bought it, was 2001. That's 22 years ago. This is 4 years. Are they more successful than UFC 4 years in? Far more, which is an interesting thing. But UFC also had more to grow because UFC wasn't even on TV in 4 years, or they just getting TV in 4 years. These guys, you know, had TV from, you know, 9 months into their start.
Well, it'd be interesting to see what happens with their branding overall, because like you said, UFC at one point was still kind of that dirty little secret that people watched and fight fans watched, and then it exploded, and then it was everywhere. Like, you couldn't go anywhere without seeing UFC.
Yeah. It's the thing is that UFC was always the number one brand, though, whereas AEW will always be the number two brand, and that, you know, that's limiting, and it's difficult. It's really difficult in pro wrestling to be a number two brand. That's one of the things I would say is so successful about AEW is like very, you know, like, you could go with WCW for that brief period of time where they actually became, but they were the number one brand when they were successful. As soon as they went to number two, they fell down very, very quickly. WWE survived at number two, but WWE had decades of history behind it and that it could exist on. And then also lucked into Steve Austin and The Rock at the same time.
Yeah, they also had to throw everything but the kitchen sink at it to keep it alive at points. So,
and they had points where they struggled too. Yeah. I mean, so.
Well, we've all heard the famous stories of the cuts and the water coolers and all the things that happened.
They're all true in 97. Yeah.
So
they had to take out loans. And that's one of the reasons why they wanted to restructure Brett's contract. I mean, that's 97, you know, 90, really 92 to 97 were tough years for the company for the most part. And then, you know, they just exploded, and then they exploded again a couple of years ago revenue wise with the nature of TV, because TV's gotten weaker and weaker and WWE's held steady. They're WWE's the number one thing on cable except for sports most weeks, and that's a good thing to be, and they win Friday nights on network TV most weeks. So you know, as TV goes down, wrestling staying steady is great, and that's up to AEW. AEW's not where it was a year ago,
right?
But it's still, I mean, those numbers are strong every week. People will go, oh, you know, they're weak numbers. And it's like, they're not weak numbers. They are great numbers on TV. You're talking last week they were sixth place. This week they'll probably be, for non-sports, this week they'll probably be, you know, for the week, not for the day. I mean, yeah, they were ninth for the day, but they were behind all those sports and Vanderpump and Watch What Happens Next, which are, you know, giant cable hits, you know, I mean, so they're behind the giant cable hits, but, you know, they're aside from your giant cable hits, they beat everything.
Well, trust me, even since launching this show and my broadcasting career, I've always seen analytics change and things grow and change. I mean, will it be forever this way? You never know. Sometimes
there's nothing's forever, but November of 2019 was when I basically figured that they will probably make it for a lot of different reasons, which is basically based on their TV ratings. November 2019, I remember in telling people, and people really wanted them to fail or were just sure that they would because everyone, TNA history and everything like that. And it didn't happen. And now, I think that, we're all these years in and, they're not failing or anything like that.
No, it's such an interesting dichotomy. Nobody wants wrestling companies to fail more than wrestling fans, right? So there's people that
will. Well, yeah. It may be people who have a loathing relationship with wrestling and WWE and some. And yeah. I wouldn't even say most WWE fans. I think that there's certainly a percentage of WWE fans who banked on the idea that this would fail because they were tribal. It didn't fail. So there you go.
That's just it. And vice versa, right? It's like, oh, they're going to take out WWE. It's like,
well, that wasn't that was going to be very, very difficult to happen. I mean, there was a point in time where WWE was going down and AEW was going up and they were very close, but very close. Shockingly. I mean, I was shocked by it, but it didn't last. And WWE, it wasn't even that AEW fell, but they did fall, but it was more that WWE grew. And as WWE grew, AEW was going to fall because there is that. I mean, that's what happened in the late 90s when WWE grew, WCW plummeted. And these guys haven't plummeted like WCW, but they've gone down. But even down, they're a big cable TV hit. And, as far as arena business goes, they're doing fine in the United States. They're not, doing spectacular. But I mean, the Wembley is going to be one of the greatest success stories, in pro wrestling history. As far as like the live event, I mean,
back to the point of what started this entire conversation here, we're going with the show is likely the announcement on Wednesday. We're not going to get the Mid-Continental Greenland Championship coming out or something like that, right?
It's going to No. That's got to be the announcement because June 17th, we're not far away, and it's the announcement's going to be made at the upfronts, which means 100% it's a TV announcement, and we already knew anyway. I mean, we'd known for a month that May 17th was the announcement of Collision, so that's there could be more, but May 17th for sure, as far as Collision, yeah.
First main event of Collision. CM Punk versus Goldberg with Sting as the special enforcer.
No, I don't know about that, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. I mean, there's all those rumors, so we'll see what happens.
I'm just screwing around with you at this point. Okay, I don't know anything about this girl, but I do know that your listeners, your readers especially, have a big fan following of Stardom. Himeka just retired from Stardom, did kind of a cool idea, did a gauntlet match against the entire Stardom roster, so... I mean, you don't get that kind of retirement all the time for a wrestler. Tell us about Himeka and what she means to that world.
She's just like she was someone who she's been around for not that many years. And was someone who when she made the call to retire, I just remember being told that she had given herself a short time in wrestling and she wanted to physically be able to do stuff and not beat her body up for like 10, 15 years. So that's what she did. But she was she was very good. I mean, they have a lot of women. The women there are so well-trained. I mean, it really hit me watching Mercedes go over there because Mercedes, I think of Mercedes Moné as far as like, her and Asuka to me were always the two best actual workers of the, American or WWE women. And when she went over there, it was like, they're crisper. A lot of them, they're crisper. They're faster. It's like they're technically wise, they're as good, some better. And it's like you really see, it really hits you how good and how well they're trained and the depth and just how hard they hit the ropes, just little things like that. But their stuff looks so good. And she was one of them. They have a lot of really good talent over there. And their company's growing too.
Tessa Blanchard coming up in just a moment here on McGuire on Wrestling. Dave, before we go, you mentioned some of the analytics you went through with the financials. What else are some things people can read in this past edition of the Wrestling Observer newsletter?
I mean, we, you know, definitely go through the different things that could happen with this Wednesday announcement and going forward with AEW business. Obviously going through WWE covering the aftermath of Backlash. We have a very interesting story about the aftermath of AEW Revolution. That's actually kind of a blowaway story there. There's story about Wembley and the ticket sales and the different records and the different goals and the largest crowds in Europe and a lot of different things like that. But just putting kind of in perspective how giant that show is and the biggest long-term draws in England for those who are interested in history of British wrestling and just all of the rest of the news of the week.
Dave, it's a pleasure as always. Thank you, sir. We will talk to you next week, especially about the one and only Owen Hart. Thanks, bud.
Have a great week.
McGuire on Wrestling.
Thanks for sticking around. It's main event time here on the show, and this is an interview I'm so happy to be able to share with you. I don't even like calling it an interview. It's a conversation, and it's a real conversation, kind of like what we had with Jimmy Jacobs last week. This is something where I went in, maybe having my own thoughts of what this person would be in my own head, and when I left it, I was like, wow, this is somebody who realizes that there's more to life than what people might say or think about you, true or not, which, by the way, there's a lot of not about a lot of people out there. But it's when you actually get to know someone and talk to them directly and figure out who they are. That is a real experience. Don't take my opinion for it, though. I had this whole preamble I was going to do before this. What I will say is that she has signed a multi-show deal with XPW. Saturday, May 27th. At www.streamxpw.com, she will be appearing on the show Broken, Beat, and Scarred. So take a few minutes and join me as for the first time, maybe like you are now, I got to meet the undeniable diamond, Tessa Blanchard. Well, you know, you never know when you hit the highway where you're going to end up and find a wrestling show. And tonight it was Yorkton, Saskatchewan, where naturally you would expect to see Tessa Blanchard. Hi.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm really good. Pleasure to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you very much for making the time here. So we were just chatting before all this, and it's been a while since a lot of fans have kind of seen you lately. And you're back. You don't look like you've missed a step. If anything, you're probably looking just how we remember, if not a little better. I don't know. How are you feeling about it?
I'm feeling great. Even when I took some time off wrestling, I stayed training. I stayed in the gym just because that's my lifestyle, you know, training, gym. So it did feel like an easy transition coming back into the ring, kind of back into the light, if you will. But it feels good to be here in Canada and on this tour.
How did you find out about this tour? Because I was talking to Jimmy Jacobs, who is a very good friend of yours.
Yes.
You know, he said he couldn't wait to get out here. So what brought Tessa into this fold for this crazy Canadian tour?
This is kind of funny because, like, I got a text from my dad, and my dad was like, hey, here's this number for Danny Duggan. He wants to talk to you about a Canada tour. And so I was like, oh, okay. So reached out to Danny, was like, hey, got your number from my dad's. He said he wanted to talk to me about XYZ. We got to chatting and stuff, and everything kind of lined up perfectly because I just finished finals in school, and I'm on summer right now, and I've been taking a little bit of wrestling here and there when it's fun, when I want to, because that's what I miss, right, is like the fun. Like when I would drive 20 plus hours to Whitehall, New York, and sleep in my car for a hot dog and a handshake. And I was just like, I loved it. I just loved being around wrestling, and I missed the fun aspect. And talking to Danny and seeing like night after night, and I remember doing a Maritimes tour, like my second or third year in wrestling. It was like 27 nights in a row with the Duprees. And I loved that, just town after town, set up the ring, tear down, like all of that. I just loved it. So it seemed like something that was right up my alley. Like, I want to do this. Yes, I'll do this.
So this is a 10-day tour across Saskatchewan in the middle of tornado season. There's also stops in Manitoba. You're getting all sorts of weather and everything else. What day is this now for you?
This would be
day eight. Seven or eight?
It's like seven or eight, I think. Yeah. They're blending together.
Yeah, well, you came in on the Saturday show, so this would be would be going into day seven. So
I literally, it was crazy. So
okay, yeah, you got to tell the story because I heard what happened.
Okay. But I'll give you the Cliff Note version. So I flew, well, I was in San Antonio and I went to a concert with like Kira Hogan, Diamante, Red Velvet, went to this concert.
I'll just pick up all these names you dropped here.
And that night I'm like, girls, we got to go because I got to drive to Austin to make my flight. So we leave. I get home at like 1 a.m. Brian Cage was like, can I stay at your apartment that night? So I had to let him in. I showered and then I left him a key because he was flying out the next morning. So they all stayed at my apartment while I left. I drove like 2 hours to Austin, parked my car, made it to the airport for my 5 a.m. flight. And then I flew to Houston. Houston, I got delayed. So I missed the flight from Austin to Houston got delayed. So I missed my connection in Houston. So I couldn't, it was a mess between airlines.
And was that supposed to be to, where was Houston connecting you to?
To Toronto.
That's so, where it happens every time.
Yes. Yeah, so then I got stuck in Houston. Then I got stuck in Toronto. Uh-huh. Then Toronto to Winnipeg. Finally, I made it to Winnipeg. Then we had to drive 2 hours to the show. And the show's already started. And I'm like sending them updates of my current location, waiting for my bag. And I'm like, oh, I changed on the highway. And as soon as I get there, I like run around the building in my wrestling gear. A police stops. And he's like, is there something going on? And I'm like, it's just wrestling, sir. So I get in the building. I see my opponent. She's like frantic and whatnot. Then I hear my music and I'm like, I just got here. Let's do this. Let's go. Like it was that fast, like just in time.
We hear about stories like this all the time from back in the day. You know, a lot of the wrestlers will talk about it. Now that you've lived it, is that the first time that's happened to you like that?
You know what? I don't want to say I've cut it pretty close sometimes, but in those moments is when I feel so grateful for George South and my dad and my stepdad and learning old school, learning how to, you know, go out there and do what you need to do. Yeah, just that old school mentality of how to get out there. You don't talk in the back and you don't plan things. Like, no, you just go out there and you wrestle. This is what we do, right? So go do it.
So I was actually going to come out to that show, and then I've just been busy doing other things.
But Rivers, right?
Rivers. Yeah, Rivers, yeah. Manitoba, which actually a buddy of mine was one of the guys doing the fundraiser for the firefighters there. I mean, it was a cool concept of the show. I understand that they actually stretched the show super long, and you still kept most of the room to see you.
Jimmy comes up to me and he goes, yeah, man, I went 25 minutes today, Blanchard. And I'm like, thank you, Jimmy. Love you.
But that, I mean, that's got to feel good that people are staying to see you, first of all. But now you're in this pattern. It's been day after day after day after day. Is it starting to feel like, yeah, the bug is officially satisfied? Let's go do more.
Yeah. You know, like, first of all, I can't even express like how thankful I am. Just the fans have been so accepting here. Like even today, like it was just like unprecedented. Like they're just chanting like Tessa, like let's go that always feels great, you know, especially like being away for so long. But yeah, I'm always gonna want more, you know. I feel like I've got some unfinished business in wrestling. I do feel I'm 27 years old and I do feel confidently like I'm one of the best that there is and I can go with the best, and so I won't stop pushing for that. But I've got other things going on too. Like I think it's important to have that balance of knowing who you are outside of the business, because the business isn't always going to be there for you, and it's very unforgiving. It will recycle people left and right. So I know who Tessa is without wrestling, which makes me more dangerous when I go back to wrestling.
Can I ask you, what did you take in school and what did you graduate from?
Sure. I'm in college right now finishing my degree. Just with COVID happening, I had left college when I was 18, because you're 18 making a ton of money wrestling traveling. Like, why do I need to? But no, I'm back. I'm going for international affairs. So a lot of politics, history, foreign policy. I'm really passionate about immigration, how our country works with other countries, and our country does make it kind of difficult. The process of immigration is difficult for people who aren't from America. And I do think that there's people that just want a better opportunity or want to be able to come and work or come and go to school or have a better life. Living in Mexico, I lived there for 3.5 years and got to see that. So I'm very passionate about those things and love a lot of the courses that I'm taking. I just feel like I've grown so much just going back to school, learning so much about myself. So that's kind of what I'm doing on the flip side. Yeah. That's my weekday.
No, that's really cool. On the Mexico front there, just for a second, because I swear you did something tonight. I don't know if it's old school America or old school Canada or old school, but this reminded me of something I saw when I went to Mexico and saw a wrestling show. You did this spot tonight where you invited the fans to basically take shots at your opponent here.
You know, she does. So we had the women's football team here, which, first of all, that's badass. Like, yeah. Women doing things in male dominated worlds, like, that's right up my alley. I love that. I just went to a seminar for a lady named Lisa Jaster, who, she's an Army reservist, first female to graduate Ranger school in the reserves. And I was like, you did everything in the Army that I want to do in wrestling. Like, you shattered glass ceilings for females. Like, heck yeah. So seeing a female like football team, like, we don't have that in America in the high schools, in the middle schools. That's not typical. So that really got me excited. And I was like, we got to get them involved. So it was a perfect way to do so. I loved it.
It was a parade of chops for those that are curious. It was funny. You had everything from the coach, who's a grown woman, to like the smallest girl out there.
Oh, yeah. And even the smallest girl, like, she was a Spitfire. Like, yeah. Heck yeah. I was here for it. I loved it.
Well, you know what? This was highly entertaining. I'm so glad that I made the stop to see you live. Thank you for taking the time to talk here. You know, it's, we even said beforehand, what are we going to talk about? I said, trust me, I'm not going to do anything that's going to put you on the spot or anything. When I see you doing this, and I saw you in videos for CWE leading up to this show, I see someone who is at peace, but with a chip on her shoulder. And I mean that in the best way possible. Is that a fair summation, you think?
I think that I'm at a place where I know that I'm the best, and it's a place of confidence, not from ego anymore. Like, I don't care about the spotlight as much. I don't care about being viewed as the greatest. Like, I'm confident in my abilities when I step through those ropes. I don't care if you're Mexico Lucha Libre, British strong style, Japanese strong style, American style, whatever it is, I know that I'm so versatile that I can go out there and kick it with the best of the best, because I am one of the best of the best. And it's not a place of ego. It's a place of confidence now. Like, everything that I've been through, I think, has really changed me and opened my eyes to this whole new Tessa that there is. Again, like I said, I think it's important to have your feet on the ground, because if your feet come off the ground, when you fall hard. And I think there's many people in the business who can attest to that. But
you're definitely friends with Jimmy Jacobs, because him and I went into like a 20-minute conversation.
Oh my God, he's one of my best friends. Yeah, I've probably been hanging around him too much this weekend.
This is great, because again, I'm sorry, we're going a little longer than we probably expected
it's okay.
to. But that's just it. You know, I think what you're describing, and without sounding like a know-it-all, because I'm not, but yeah. I go through this myself. We all go through it at some point. You know, when I started my radio career, I got hotshot opportunities everywhere. I moved up fast, and yeah. It was like, same thing. You know, something goes awry, and it's like, who am I now? What am I without radio? And then I figured out I'm a wrestling guy, and I like talking about it still. I can't do it anymore, but
because we're also in a world of like social media. Like, people go on there and they read the really, really bad things about them and the really, really good yeah. things about them. So it's like, I don't want to believe either, because if I believe all the really good things about me, I'm going to get this ego, or I'm going to believe all those things, and it sets a new precedent for what I have to perform at. And if I believe all the bad things, well, I'm just going to feel bad about myself.
Yeah, give credit to it, and then it's legitimized yeah. in your mind. Yeah.
So it's better for me to just not look at any of it, and it's not real, right? Yeah. Like the money, the fame, the followers, all those things, they're not going to leave this world with you. So what is real, right? And that's for each of us to figure out. What are the real things in our life, and create that balance. Like, yes, we love wrestling. Yes, we meet people from all different walks of life, and we find each other in this love of pro wrestling. That's where we meet, right? We love it. Mm-hmm. But who am I without it? Because it's not going to be there forever.
That's pretty profound stuff. And I'm gonna surmise it all in one word. And I think that you're demonstrating it now, and I can't wait to see what happens with you in the future. That word is growth. And
Thank you. Well, hey, it's a constant process, right? Like,
same here. Yeah.
I'm not who I was a year ago, 10 years ago, a month ago. Shoot, I'm growing since yesterday even. It's a constant process, but we have to be aware of it, right? Or otherwise we get caught up in the business and the comments and the all that BS.
Focus on, you know what, be the best you can be. And that sounds like such a, we're in a school here surrounded by all these inspirational posters. So maybe that's what's
getting
us.
We really are. Community, commitment, compassion, courage. No, we all make mistakes.
Look at this. Strong people don't put others down. They lift them up.
And that's true.
That's
you know
it.
What, yeah. As cheesy like as these motivational things are, like, that is true. And I think it's important for us to remember that. Like, one thing, I don't care what anyone says, since I've like started, I've always wanted to help those younger girls. I wanted to see girls who people said, hey, they're just a bikini photo online, or they're not a good wrestler. And I wanted to be able to show them, like, hey, you can have a great match and go out there and do it. And I did. I did with so many of these girls that weren't taken seriously, whether they want to admit it or not.
You're a damn hero here tonight, for sure.
So, No, but
I know what you're talking about, wrestling in general. But.
We're in this constant phase of growth. So I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of a lot of my friends. I'm glad for where I am. I'm glad to be on this tour and just have fun in wrestling again, because fun has been sucked out of so much of it, at least in my opinion. I'm happy to be here, and I'm having so much fun.
Well, I'm glad that I got the chance to sit down and talk with you, Tessa Blanchard. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
No, thank you so much.
Gigantic thanks going out to Tessa Blanchard, also to Danny Duggan, CWE, and all my friends in the locker room that helped make that happen, because it's funny, right? Like, we can hear and say things about people we don't even know. And in some people's mind, rather than do the work, they would just rather take that as fact. Trust me, you stick around long enough anywhere, you're going to hear all sorts of things about yourself that aren't even close to true. But it's when you get the chance to actually show who you are and do what you do, then people can think what they want of you. You know better. Hey, if you've been listening to this show and liking it, do me a favor, if you can, spread the word. There's been tremendous listenership the first couple of weeks of this show. Thank you for being a part of the show. And next week, we're going to do a special tribute looking back to the life and times of Owen Hart. So this is an open invite to any of you listening. If you have any memories, either personal or from a distance, about Owen Hart and favorite things from his career, his life and times, share them with me. There's going to be a post at McGuire Show on all the social media. Well, let's make this a big show next week for the King of Hearts. And that's it. Thanks for listening and letting me do what I do. Till next time, play safe, drive safe. I'll be seeing you.